Now, more of the Patricia Raskin Show on WPRO. Call Patricia now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Hi, everyone, and we are back, and wonderful to be with you. This half hour is brought to you by South County Health. My guest is Dr. Joseph Renzulli, who is an MD and a board-certified urologist and chief of urology at South County Health. He's an associate professor of urology at Yale School of Medicine and a seven-time Rhode Island monthly top doc. Dr. Renzulli has performed over 1,000 robotic-assisted surgeries and will bring his expertise using this technology right here to South County Hospital. His specialties include urologic cancer surgeries, including prostate, kidney, bladder, testicular, and adrenal cancer. Welcome, Dr. Renzulli.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Why the move to South County Health?
Well, one big reason that we took on this initiative was because we felt, after speaking with Mr. Giancola and the administration at South County Hospital, that there clearly was an unmet need in that part of the state, and that extended even into Connecticut areas bordering Rhode Island. And what we're speaking of is access to advanced surgical techniques for malignancies in genitourinary malignancies. So that's prostate cancer, bladder cancer, as you mentioned. And I think that as we've seen the evolution of medicine over the last 5 to 10 years, it's clear that people want to be treated in their community. And I think we can create a center of excellence for genitourinary surgery, just as the orthopedic team has done a fabulous job becoming one of the one of the best in the in the country for robotic assisted total joint replacement.
I understand that South County Hospital recently added Da Vinci robotic assisted technology for general and for urologic surgeries. So this is an area you've pioneered in our state. How will the addition of this Da Vinci system impact our surgical capabilities that are offered right here at South County Hospital and also improve the patient outcomes?
Well, first of all, we've already seen just in the first few weeks that I've arrived at South County Hospital the impact. We've been able to assist 10 people already schedule surgeries that they would have had to leave South County for to have what we would consider cutting-edge surgery for malignancies and genitourinary cancer. So I think, again, it's creating an opportunity for patients to be treated in their community and servicing an unmet need in that area, as I mentioned. The procedure itself has become the standard of care for prostate cancer. So if you look at the statistics nationwide, over 100,000 prostatectomies performed every year for prostate cancer, and now we see over 95% of them being performed with the Da Vinci system. And the advantages of that system are quicker recovery, much less in the way of need for blood transfusion due to less blood loss during surgery, quicker convalescence for patients in out of hospital within a day, and overall, excellent oncologic outcomes. So that is, at this point, not going to be offered in communities, essentially, that don't have technology like the Da Vinci robot.
Tell us, explain for our listeners what the robot does. How does it make it more efficient? What's the difference between using the robot and not?
So robotic surgery has a lot of advantages even over standard laparoscopy, which was when we would use still two-dimensional screens to do surgery with laparoscopic equipment that's like using chopsticks. So they can go in and out left and right, and that's about it. With Da Vinci technology, you have three-dimensional vision. You have magnification of the anatomy, so you can see better. You have less blood loss in the field, so you're doing a better dissection during that surgery. And then all the instruments have what we call wristed technology. So they are able to perform even above the human wrist in that they can rotate over 360 degrees. So that was never possible with laparoscopic surgery. And so therefore, adding a Da Vinci system to a hospital allows you to not only do additional procedures, but improve your outcomes if you have an experienced surgeon with regards to as we mentioned, blood loss, length of stay, transfusion rates, and even in our hands, we've shown in our, when I did my, we published papers on our first several hundred patients and then another 500 or 600 patients after that, the learning curve at some point flattens out, but it's at a high volume. So you have to do a lot of these surgeries to actually be able to offer it and provide the outcomes that that are better for patients.
Right. So it really does make a big difference is what you're saying in terms of precision, particularly.
Precision.
Yeah. 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 How did you get interested in the robotic? How did this happen for you? What was your particular interest?
Well, I had spent the 5 years training at Yale in my residency from 2001 to 2006 when it was the watershed between open surgery and robotic surgery. So we had trained as open surgeons, and although people were taken care of well, we still saw a lot of shortcomings from open surgery when it came to, as I mentioned, the blood loss, the issues with transfusion, length of incontinence after prostatectomy, issues with erectile dysfunction after prostatectomy. So when this technology became available as an opportunity to start that program here in Rhode Island, it was a easy decision for me to mm-hmm. want to take that challenge on because I saw the benefits in the literature being presented at meetings where patients were doing so much better after doing prostatectomy. And that lend itself, once you had that experience, to other areas, kidney, right. bladder, adrenal, et cetera.
I want to ask you about prostate cancer because it's one of the most common cancer types in men. Are there preventative measures that can reduce the risk of developing this type of cancer?
So I would say in general, the preventative measures are really the proactive measures that a man can take. So it's going to the to the doctor, knowing your family history due to the genetic predisposition that can present with prostate cancer, getting physical exams with digital rectal exam, having your PSA checked, which is a blood test which can help detect prostate cancer. So it's being proactive. It's not one of those diseases such as bladder cancer where you can tell someone if you stop smoking, you reduce your risk of bladder cancer significantly. It's not one of those types of cancers. And the other problem with prostate cancer is I hear from men all the time, well, I feel fine. By the time you actually have symptoms with prostate cancer, you've missed a great opportunity to potentially treat something in its infancy when it's curable. So I think that that's a false sense of security to say, well, I feel fine, I don't have any urinary symptoms, etc. Mm-hmm. So it's really being diligent with your primary care and your...
So the screenings are key. It kind of reminds me of the mammogram. Would you compare it to that? You know, the breast cancer screenings.
It's the same exact concept. And actually, if you look at prostate cancer and breast cancer, there are a lot of similarities when you look at the genetic predisposition. Mm-hmm. Right. For the BRCA1, BRCA2 genes, et cetera. Both of them have prostate cancer and breast cancer as risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's become very apparent in the last probably 2 to 3 years that family history for men is just as important when it comes to malignancies like breast in the family and such. Because you could have multiple women with breast cancer who end up having BRCA that can then result in a man with prostate cancer because the genes are similar.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What about if a patient comes to you with urinary symptoms, which is so common, particularly in women? How do you determine if it's prostate cancer versus a non-enlarged prostate or something else?
Well, first, obviously, as you said, the history is important to gather. The urinary symptoms have to then be evaluated for infectious reasons, which those are more of an acute onset of urinary symptoms. One that's had gradual onset of urinary symptoms can be related to either bladder or prostate dysfunction. And certainly in women, it would be more related to bladder issues mm-hmm. And then with regards to the differentiation from prostate enlargement versus mm-hmm. cancer, we rely on the PSA testing, the levels right. per age, because they can vary for men at different ages. And then the examination as well.
And you work with, of course, both men and women?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Because for I know for women, urinary symptoms and sometimes burning and discharge seems to be common at different times. So it's how do you differentiate that without panicking, I guess, is the question.
Sure. Well, first of all, one of the signs that always demands further evaluation for anyone, man or woman, is if they have those symptoms and there's blood in the urine.
Okay.
So a urinalysis is important because it not only tells if there's infection, but it also can give insight into microscopic blood in the urine, or someone might see blood with their eyes, and that those are always mandatory to be evaluated because we want to make sure bladder cancer or upper tract, the kidneys, the ureters, all the lining of the urinary system needs to be evaluated for malignancy. That's what we always want to rule out first. Then if there's no obvious malignancy, then certainly we can look at more benign causes. Women might have changes in urinary symptoms due to recurrent urinary tract infections. They could have bladder dysfunction that can cause symptoms. They could have postmenopausal changes that can lead to burning and such. So then you go down a path of non-malignant. So it's really the fork in the road is always malignant versus non-malignant causes of things in urology.
Very important. All right, folks, if you'd like to call in with questions, 438-WPRO, 438-9776, 800-321-9776. And these would be questions for Dr. Renzulli, who is a board-certified urologist and chief of urology at South County Health. This program is brought to you by South County Health. If you have any issues with any, whether it's prostate or kidney or bladder, testicular, anything urological or adrenal, do give us a call and ask Dr. Renzulli your question. He'd be certainly happy to answer it. Okay. I want to ask you about your fusion prostate biopsies. This is something new. Explain what that is.
So there's been very few cancers left that are just randomly organs that are randomly biopsied to determine if there's malignancy present. That's really not the way we practice medicine now, yet prostate cancer was still one of the only ones where a PSA would be elevated and we would do a random biopsy of the prostate. Now we're trying to use imaging, as you alluded to, for breast. We're applying that to prostate. So certainly women who have an abnormal mammogram may need to have a biopsy, but there's really very few times, and there's no time when a woman would just get a random breast biopsy. So in men, we now can take MRIs of the prostate, and if we see abnormalities within the prostate on the MRI, we can then fuse that image, just like tracing paper, put it, overlie it in the ultrasound that we use to deliver a prostate biopsy. So now you're targeting the lesion within the MRI on real-time ultrasound to do the biopsy. So it's a much more precise way to evaluate a man for risk of prostate cancer. And the New England Journal of Medicine just in the last 2 months came out with an article called the Precision Trial, which demonstrated biopsies that were done under MRI guidance had more likelihood of diagnosing significant prostate cancers, because some prostate cancers are actually not dangerous. So we really are interested in finding the dangerous prostate cancers, not the ones that are not going to harm someone.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more to Dr. Joseph Renzulli about urology and the different surgeries that he performs and answer any of your questions in the areas of urological issues. And it could be prostate, kidney, bladder, testicular, adrenal cancer. This program, this half hour, is brought to you by South County Health. And Dr. Joseph Renzulli is a board-certified urologist and chief of urology at South County Health. And he also uses Da Vinci robotic-assisted surgery and many other issues. So we're really happy to answer your questions right after the break. You're listening to The Patricia Raskin Show. We're here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, where the voice of Southern New England. Will be right back.
Now, more of The Patricia Raskin Show on WPRO. Call Patricia now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Patricia Raskin.
Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to the Patricia Raskin Show. And this half hour is brought to you by South County Health. My guest for this half hour is Dr. Joseph Renzulli, who is a board-certified urologist and chief of urology at South County Health. He's an associate professor of urology at Yale School of Medicine and is a seven-time Rhode Island Monthly top doc. And his specialties are urologic cancer, surgeries, prostate, kidney, bladder, testicular, and adrenal cancer. And he's performed over 1,000 robotic surgeries, assisted surgeries, and is bringing his expertise to South County Hospital. Welcome back, Dr. Renzulli.
Thank you.
Yeah. One of the things you were mentioning as I was talking to you during the break was the incredible opportunity to have the multidisciplinary techniques and procedures throughout South County Health for patients. Talk about that.
So what we're trying to create is really a center of excellence for genitourinary malignancies, and that includes the use of the diagnosis of cancer, the treatment of cancer, and then even the aftercare for patients that are living with cancer or have been cured but have survivorship issues, which are the sequelae of all these treatments. So on campus, we're really fortunate to have medical oncologists at the cancer center, which can treat the advanced prostate cancer patients, bladder cancer patients, and kidney cancer patients. We have the surgical capabilities that we talked about with the Da Vinci system now that really brings us to a cutting-edge level in surgical care for these patients. And then those who need radiation services, we have 21st Century Oncology and South County Hospital right on the same campus. So we have that proverbial one-stop shopping available for our patients so that they can get every part of their care right on campus.
Yeah.
And our hope is to add pelvic floor care for men and women who have urinary incontinence issues with physical therapy, and even men's health with sexual dysfunction, with erectile dysfunction after a lot of these procedures. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about erectile dysfunction. How common is it? What can we do about it? Can we prevent it?
So the statistics for erectile dysfunction are really go hand in hand with your decade. So 50% of men at 50 start to experience dysfunction, 60% at 60, and then 70% at 70, et cetera.
Interesting.
So it affects the vast majority of men as they age. Now, there's one where preventative health and things you can do to improve your health does exist, because we know the vessels in your heart are about 2 to 3 millimeters in size. Those are the coronary vessels. So people who have a heart attack, those vessels get occluded. But we also know that the penile arteries are 1 millimeter. So there's been evidence in the literature where men who have erectile dysfunction early on really need to be evaluated completely by their physician and by cardiologists potentially for issues with underlying vascular disease.
Yeah.
So erectile dysfunction is a vascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even some studies that have shown if you have the onset of erectile dysfunction, that could precede your major cardiac event over the next 36 months. It is a harbinger of vascular issues that one should take seriously.
Can exercise help as well as nutrition, diet?
Yeah, so I think exercise can help. We have patients who have diabetes or are overweight, who lose weight, their blood sugars improve, and their erectile function improves. So weight loss is important. Eating right, like you said, to reduce cardiovascular risk in general. Exercise to improve blood flow to all parts of our body. I think those are the mainstay. And once you have erectile dysfunction, it's a lot more difficult to reverse. So you really want to, I always say to my patients, what happens at 50 and 60 is really a consequence of what occurred at 25, 35, and 45. It's not that you don't turn 50 and develop all these problems.
Yeah. So there are things you can do. I would think, this is just common sense to me, that moving your body, just moving, whether it's running or swimming or whatever, you would help with that whole with blood flow. Yes,
absolutely. We know We know all exercise improves overall health in patients, blood pressure issues. These are all contributory. If you have high blood pressure and you're now on medicine for high blood pressure, almost all the high blood pressure medications can cause some form of erectile dysfunction. So you can really modify a lot of these risk factors.
Mm-hmm. And food, any particular foods or not any one?
I don't think there's been a direct correlation to specific foods, but most of the time we advocate for people to take a Mediterranean-type diet with high in vegetables, fruits, olive oils, et cetera, just because the high meat consumption in this country is really, we know, there is detrimental effects to high intakes of meat.
Mm. And we were just talking about that in the last interview with Dr. Landry, about the Mediterranean-type diet and certainly limiting meat. Yeah. So because that seems to be a concern for a lot of men as they get older.
Absolutely.
And, I do want to ask you this because you see it on television all the time, all of these ads for medications. What's your feeling about those for erectile dysfunction?
So I think the medications that are out there are very safe when used appropriately and not combined with other recreational medications that can be quite dangerous, or recreational drugs, I should say, that can be dangerous. If someone has cardiovascular history, they should definitely make sure they've been evaluated for appropriate, can they use these medications, and ask their cardiologist or their primary care doctor, because the one contraindication to these medications are people with heart disease that need nitroglycerins or anything that has nitrates within them.
Mm. Okay. Good advice. How can people find you again? Let's talk about where South County Urology is located.
So there's five physicians now making up South County Urology. We're located at 70 Kenyon Street, which is right attached to the hospital in the doctor's office building. We have a brand new suite that will be completed at the end of the month, and it's on the third floor. It takes up pretty much the whole third floor. And we have Dr. Heinemann, Dr. Heffernan, Dr. Sarazin, and Dr. Zerner, and myself.
Okay. What would be your closing thoughts for listeners? What would you like to leave listeners with about urology, about the procedures that you do, just about the whole field and health in general?
I think the message, in this particular message is to men that they need to be as diligent as women are with their preventative health care. And I think childbearing tends to get women into doctor's offices earlier and gets them more comfortable with physician visits. But I think men traditionally are procrastinators when it comes to their health, and this can have detrimental effects, and diseases can present at much more advanced stage. So I think earlier, prevention is still one of the most successful parts of medicine by far.
Mm-hmm. So they should go once a year for their physical as a woman would?
Go once a year. They should inquire about PSA testing. They should inquire about prostate exams because, there has been controversy in the field if it's appropriate. It's gone back and forth with the U.S. Preventative Task Force that PSA screening was valuable, was not valuable. Now they're back to it has value. But really, you need to discuss it with your physician and make an informed choice for yourself. And I think in general, most urologists feel that earlier diagnosis of prostate cancer saves lives. So we advocate for screening in men who are healthy, who are over 50. If your father had prostate cancer, or your uncles, or you're African-American, you should be screened at 40. So we see earlier screening is necessary because the disease tends to be more aggressive in that setting if it's present.
Mm, all right. And again, tell us where you're located, please.
So we're right at South County Hospital in the physician's office building, the medical office building, 70 Kenyon Street. And we're taking new patients who are 401-788-8780 phone number. And get a direct interaction with one of our staff members.
All right. And say you heard it right here on this program. And you can also log on to southcountyhealth.org. Right, and again, it's South County Urology, 401-788-8780. Dr. Rinzulli, thank you so much for being on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, folks, I want to tell you a little bit about next week and where we're going and excited. I had mentioned last week that beginning July 1st, my last show on Pro will be June 30th. I will still be on the air. I'll be moving to the internet. I've been on the internet 15 years on voiceamerica.com. You'll still be able to hear me on Saturdays at 3. You just won't use your radio. You can use your phone. You can use the app. You can use your computer. But I'll still be here. And if you want to be on my newsletter list, Patricia at patriciaraskin.com. And next week, we'll talk to Paula Marshall, who is the founder of Bama Company. We'll talk about the soul of big business. Remember, stay healthy, stay happy, get the support you need, and know you can make your dreams come true. Until next time, I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voices of Southern New England.